Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warmer friendly hello, welcome to Lovely Las Vegas for Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Spears, and now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast. Got a tremendous podcast for you. It's in the second segment. We are going to be joined by Blake Lovell. He does a great job over there at Blue Rim and Yearbook. Also does the Marching to Madness podcast. He does the Southeastern 14, where he takes a look at all teams out there in the SEC. He also does the Locked On SEC podcast in the second segment. He's going to join me to take a look at some of the recent transfer moves that we've seen for the power schools. Arizona bringing in Courtney Ramey. We're also going to be discussing Jacob Granderson, what he could wind up doing for Duke. And he's going to be discussing an SEC school that he feels is a little bit under the radar. And we're also going to be taking a look at some of the mid-majors and some of the good moves that a few off-the-beaten-path teams have made out there in the transfer portal. We're going to be looking at one team in particular out there in the Big Sky that has really caught our eye. So that is going to be a lot of fun. And then in the final segment, going to give you guys a little bit of a recap as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Sunday. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_d1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really didn't wind up getting in a lot of Twitter questions today, but keep note that I am continuing to take a look at conference previews for every single one of these conferences. I'm doing the low/mid-major conferences first, and then the Power 5 and the other power conferences, because you've obviously got the Big East, which you can make that a Power 6. The American, the Atlantic 10, I consider those to be more powerful conferences as well. Those are going to be towards the end of the offseason, so we're going to continue to be pumping those out this week as well, and we're going to be pumping out some great content next with our good friend Blake right here on Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Spears, and now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Back here in lovely Las Vegas for Cuts and Cuts with myself, Craig E. Spears, and now part of the VEASAN family of podcasts. It is always great to be joined by this guest, as he does an absolutely terrific job over there at Blue Ribbon Yearbook. I'm sure that they, much like myself, very much getting set to wind up starting to take a look at all these conferences, as they do tremendous work year in and year out, putting out their conference previews and all their previews for the sport that we love in general. And Blake, on top of that, does a lot of work when it comes to SEC sports over there at Southeastern 14. And you've also seen him in things such as Clutch Point Sports app. I know that he did some work over there at HeatCheck CBB a few years ago as well. Marching to Madness podcast, Lockdown SEC podcast. Guy covers it all. And to be able to follow Blake on Twitter, that is at the Blake Lovell altogether. Last name spelled L-O-V-E-L-L. And Blake, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, always enjoy it, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Always enjoy you joining me. And Blake, we've got all the NBA draft decisions and a lot of the bigger moves in the books, but we did wind up seeing the last few days a couple of, in my opinion, big impactful transfers for teams I think that are going to be in the top 25. Arizona, they wind up bringing in Courtney Ramey on Friday, and then on Saturday, we wind up seeing Duke get in Jacob Granderson. You've got to feel like some of these teams that they figure that they're going to be in the top 25, like in Arizona, like a Duke, teams that year in and year out, they always deliver production. They're taking a look at their roster and they're thinking, all right, what's that one or two pieces that we need to get over the top? Because that's what it felt like with regards to both of these transfers. And I feel like both of them were sort of tied into the NBA draft decisions. Trevor Keels does not wind up coming back for Duke for Arizona. They wind up losing Dale Unitary. And both, I thought, did about as good of a job as they could to be able to replace what they wound up losing.
Yeah, and we always say, Greg, I mean, you know, experience never hurts, right? When you have guys that have played multiple seasons, I think, in college basketball, that always helps, especially, you know, in this era where it is one where we've seen kind of the trend of you just have a lot of stud freshmen that'll come in and, you know, play a lot of minutes. But sometimes having that extra experience can mean something, especially when you get into those games in March. And I think you look at those two guys specifically, you talk about Ramey and Grandison. I mean, these are two guys that have played, you know, multiple seasons in power conferences. And I think that's always important. You know, we talk about that as well. When you talk about guys who are transferring to different spots, you know, it's not necessarily a situation of transferring up in these two guys' case in particular, because we know, I mean, you know, playing in a Texas, playing in an Illinois, these are teams that have kind of, you know, been put through the ringer in terms of just playing tough schedules over the years and playing against top competition. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Duke and Arizona, two teams that do not lack talent, period, but to add more talent never hurts. And I think those two guys will be able to do that for those programs. And, you know, I mean, you look at someone like Ramey, we know just kind of what he was able to accomplish Texas. And now you add him to the mix there at Arizona and you kind of know what Tommy Wood wants to do and the success he's had thus far. I think, you know, he'll fit in really well there. And Grandison, you know, it gives Duke another really talented player that, you know, is going to be able to help you in several different areas. And so, yeah, nice pickups for two teams that, again, were not exactly lacking talent, but adding these two gives them that extra notch of experience, I think.
It is a case in which the rich do wind up getting richer over there, and what I think is going to be really intriguing is to see how Courtney Ramey and Kirk Creasa wind up playing together, because that's the one question that I do wind up having with Arizona. We wound up seeing with Kirk Creasa, he wound up having his moments of brilliance during college basketball year last year, and then
We wound up seeing him when he tried to do a little bit too much. It just wound up not going well for him. I think that Ramey is able to be that constant for the team. And with Ramey, he played a little bit more off the ball last season. 2 years ago, I thought that he was really at his best, where he was giving out a little bit over 3 assists per game. I'm not sure how you'd wind up playing this, but I think that there might be a little bit of a timeshare at the point guard spot. But I would trust in Ramey having the ball in his hands a little bit more, because even though his ceiling, in my opinion, is not as high as Kirk Risa, I feel like his floor is also higher.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. If you're in that situation, and again, you are Tommy Lloyd, and you're looking at, you know, how you run your offense, and we kind of know the system that he's implemented there, and you know, the takeaways of seeing it over the years in Gonzaga, and certainly he's put his spin on things using it in Arizona. But I think it makes sense, you know, to try to do it that way initially. And obviously, you can always be flexible with how you approach it. But that's where I think, you know, that experience does come in, of knowing kind of what Ramey has done. And you said kind of the differences in how he was used at Texas, you know, in various seasons there. But I really do. Like, I think this is one of those pickups that we'll certainly look back on and say, this was kind of maybe that extra something that you look at Arizona and you say, all right, this was kind of what they needed, because it does give them options now. They can go multiple ways here. They could play it however they want to play it. So I think we're going to look back and say this was kind of a very important addition for this team, just because it is going to give them that extra element. And like you said, it gives them a variety of options in terms of how they approach it at that position.
I totally agree with you. And I think that it becomes all the more impactful for Arizona, just because the teams around them out there in the Pac-12 have just not done a lot this offseason, as we're being joined by Blake Lovell right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. Because I take a look at what has all happened in the Pac-12. You do have a couple guys that are going to be coming into Oregon. Oregon did wind up picking up Jermaine Cousinard. I think that Keyshawn Bartholomew is going to be able to make a little bit of an impact. And I will not poo-poo Arizona State. They did a very solid job of being able to bring in some talent here in the transfer portal. They bring in Frankie Collins. They wind up bringing in Warren Washington, the Cambridge brothers. So the two Arizona schools have been able to do a solid job. And on top of that, for Arizona, they also brought in Cedric Henderson Jr., a little bit of a 6'6" combo player from Campbell, who he really went under the radar, in my opinion. I think that that's actually going to be one that is going to be much bigger than a lot of people expect. But I think that those two pickups just become magnified even more, because you figure that there'd be teams out there in the transfer portal in the Pac-12 doing a whole heck of a lot more than they have. You've seen a lot of schools just wind up sitting on their hands. And I think that that makes what Arizona has done over the last 7 days all the bigger.
Yep, great point. And I think that's something we always say with the transfer portal. It's interesting how it plays out, because, you know, you can look at a league like the Pac-12 and you can kind of say, wow, you sit back and you look at some of the comparisons to whether it is Big 12, an ACC, or an SEC, or any of these other conferences, you know, that are kind of in that same category. And you just look at sort of the difference sometimes. I think that's one of those things that just happens with a transfer cycle, where you just see sometimes where maybe a lot of those players you're seeing go to different leagues, and it can change year in and year out. But it is something where, I mean, just having additions like that, like you said, these guys sort of magnifies it even more because of the importance of what these guys can add. And I'm glad you mentioned Jermaine Cousinard too, because obviously someone who's covered the SEC a lot, and you and I have talked about South Carolina over the years, but you know, Jermaine Cousinard is one of those guys that I think will really be able to help that Oregon team, because, you know, South Carolina just was a team that was so up and down at times under Frank Martin. But, you know, he was kind of someone that he wasn't the most consistent player at times in terms of just his percentages. But you looked at what was possible for Jermaine Cousinard, I think he was someone, very, very talented player, and someone who has several seasons of experience under his belt playing in the SEC. I'm very curious to see, you know, how Dane Altman uses him, because I think he's got a lot of potential, and he could kind of be one of those, you know, bigger offseason prizes, I guess you could say, for the Pac-12 and specifically Oregon, just because I think he's a very talented player. That was just a South Carolina team, as we talked about many times, that just never could find consistency, especially, I thought, on the offensive end.
Yep, and with being in that Dana Ullman style, if he can just cut down on the turnovers that I really feel like was the bane of him while he was over there at South Carolina, I think that that's going to be big for him as well. And I talk about the Pac-12 not making moves. The West Coast in general, though, I do think that there are a lot of teams that they wind up doing a solid job. Look no further than the Mountain West, with Wyoming bringing in three guys. As a matter of fact, from the Pac-12, you wind up seeing San Diego State once again being able to do a solid job. They just year in and year out wind up bringing in some big transfer guys that are going to be able to make quite a bit of an impact. They actually wound up out-recruiting Michigan State for Micah Parrish. They wind up bringing in Darion Trammell. The other San Diego, that would be the Toreros. They wind up bringing in Jaden Dallaire, Nick Lynch, along with Eric Williams. So a pair of guys that wound up putting up 10-plus points per game a few seasons ago at the Pac-12. They wind up going there, and I think that it is so interesting looking at the mid-majors out there on the West Coast doing a ton. Meanwhile, I just mentioned it with the Pac-12, not necessarily a ton being done by that conference, which I think is just really interesting to look at in general.
Yeah, it is interesting. And, you know, speaking of kind of teams out there that are not going to get talked about a lot because, you know, this team probably, you know, would be categorized in sort of the low major category. But a team I've been fascinated by this offseason, Greg, and it's because they have a new coach who we've talked about before when we've done our Big West previews and that sort of stuff. And that's David Patrick, who was at UC Riverside. He's at Sacramento State now. And you look at some of the pickups they've had. I mean, he's had a really nice offseason. Picked up a former guy, Callum McRae, who was at Riverside with him. You know, picked up someone else, UC Irvine, Isaiah Lee. I thought really good guard. He had some nice additions. And I think that's something. There's a team that maybe I don't know that we would have expected to be talking about Sacramento State a lot necessarily on a podcast in June, but they're one that I kind of circled and have kind of looked at them and said, boy, he's a really good coach, you know, made his rounds, went to Arkansas with Muss and was there with him. And so I think he's someone too out west. I mean, you look at what he's been able to accomplish, not saying they're going to be up there and be the next Gonzaga or anything, but I think that's an interesting one that I was looking at as well.
Yeah, he also brought in Hunter Marks from Hartford, someone who's 6'9". He's able to pop some threes. And then we speak of these low and mid-major schools as well. One of the bigger transfers and one of the most stunning things I thought we wound up seeing in the offseason was Andre Kelly winding up going down to UC Santa Barbara. UC Santa Barbara, year in and year out, a solid Big West school. But how often do you see a guy that put up 13.5 points and 8.5 rebounds? And I wouldn't say that he was the best big man out there in the Pac-12 by any stretch of the imagination, because the last 2 years, the Mobley brothers were over there at USC. But I mean, I think that it's fair to say that he was a top five big man out there in the Pac-12. He's now in the Big West. Now, it's really the only pickup that UC Santa Barbara has had in the transfer portal. But bringing in a guy like an Andre Kelly, that is seismic for a school like UC Santa Barbara.
Yeah, it seems like it all goes back to Arizona, doesn't it? Because, of course, Joe Pastrnak is the coach at UC Santa Barbara. And, of course, he was at Arizona there for a while. But it is interesting, you know, some of the parallels. Like you said, it's not something you see very often when you have a guy that, I mean, at times that could be pretty dominant in terms of putting up numbers like Kelly at Cal. And now you see him go to UCSB. And it's very interesting. And I was trying to think, okay, what could be one of the reasons? Now, obviously, there's a variety of things. But you look at kind of what Pastrnak was able to do with Amadou Sal. And I think that's an interesting thing to think about because he's a guy, I don't want to say the exact same type player by any means. But, I mean, he was a guy that put up a lot of, you know, numbers as someone who I think somewhat similar, Greg, when you talk about size and just how you could use him. Maybe that's something. If you're Kelly, you look at that and say, all right, well, look at what Amadou Sal was able to accomplish there. I think, 4 years of averaging, I want to say 12 or more points per game, just a consistent rebounder. Maybe that's something where you look at their style of play and say, all right, I can see myself fitting into that. And as we know, too, I mean, Cal has not really been a team that has necessarily competed for an NCAA tournament in recent years. And yet UCSB has certainly had their opportunity. So maybe that's something you kind of tie in there with that one.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what winds up happening out west with all those schools being able to make some good pickups. I mean, heck, UC Irvine, they wind up bringing in Pierre Cockrell II over there from Pacific. I think that he's going to be able to come in. He's going to be able to do some solid work. We wound up seeing Kelsey Fullerton. They bring in John Square Jr. from Fairleigh Dickinson. So a lot of work being done out there in the Big West. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Blake Lovell. And Blake, I know that you, much like myself, are doing everything humanly possible to get set for the upcoming college basketball season. As a matter of fact, at this time, right around last week, we were taking a look at what to expect out there in the Atlantic Sun. Has there been a team or two that the more that you just take a look at them, it could be high major, it could be low major, it could be mid major, what have you, but the more you take a look at them, the more you just begin to like them? Because I feel like there's always a few schools for me that every single year I wind up just having that. For me, it's becoming Illinois. The more I look into the school, the more that I think that Brad Underwood is going to have a tremendous year for the Fighting Illini. I'm not sure if there's one or two that has been really coming to mind to you, but is there a team that you're starting to warm up on?
The team I would probably label as that right now. You know, I'll go back to the SEC roots here because I have kind of been studying this team the past several days. I think it's Florida because that's a team, you know, for Todd Golden, we talk about all the success and we're keeping the West Coast theme here in terms of what Todd Golden was able to accomplish in San Francisco. And you know, when you came in, you didn't know exactly what the roster was going to look like or kind of what the expectations would be. But I think the more you look at that roster, I don't know if they're going to compete for the SEC title, but the more I look at this team on paper and I think about the possibilities for what a Todd Golden could do with the type of system he wants to play. Again, we saw what he was able to accomplish with San Francisco. I just really like the roster. I'm starting to see everything sort of come together, and I'm comparing it to others and saying, boy, maybe I have Florida a little too low. And I think it's all based on potential and chemistry and everything kind of come together. You know, it's picking up a Kyle Lofton. It's picking up a Will Richard from Belmont. You know, those kind of guys. But those are important. But it's like getting Colin Castleton back, getting Kawaisi Reeves back, those guys. Florida's had one of the better off seasons of any of these teams. And again, if you just feel like these guys can come in and maybe put the things together that we've seen them put together in other places, I think Florida could be one of those teams that may be the surprise one we're talking about in the SEC. And again, if the expectations weren't already high for Todd Golden right off the bat, if he were to come out and have just a big first season, maybe get Florida to the NCAA tournament, win a game or something, the expectations will only get higher. But that's a team I've really been looking at the past couple of days. And the more I look at it, the more I really like kind of how things are setting up for the Gators.
And to the credit of the school that wound up losing Todd Golden, San Francisco has actually been able to do a solid job of being able to pick up the pieces. They were able to do a good job being able to retain Khalil Shabazz. They wound up bringing in Tyrell Ghost-Roberts from Washington State. So, I mean, for as bad as it could have been for San Francisco, where he winds up leaving, the cupboard is not going to be bare for them in season number one, especially when you wind up bringing in a guy like Antonio Rokach as well as Marcus Williams from the SEC as well. So that is going to be very interesting to see how they wind up doing it. I am going to be interested to see how Florida winds up looking. And Blake, I know you do a great job of covering the SEC. I know that you do a great job with all your conference previews over there at Blue Ribbon Yearbook. And I know that you gentlemen are very much hard at work now that the NBA draft decisions are all in the books now that we've seen, for the most part, the transfer portal moves start to ramp up. Obviously, we still got a few that are going to cause for some last-minute, I guess you'd call it, edits. But that said, I know that things are starting to get squared away, and I know that you gentlemen over there are very hard at work. So let the good people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and just everything they've got going on in general.
Yeah, guys doing their thing, Greg. Everything kind of in motion for the Blue Ribbon Yearbook. And I mean, it is something where now is kind of that point, finally, where you feel like at least the bulk of the moves have been made, knowing the NBA draft situation and all that. And makes it a little bit easier to kind of piece everything together when you're looking at these teams and really trying to dissect what they're going to be. So, yeah, BlueRibbonYearbook.com. Of course, you can purchase the book there as always, and it'll be out as usual sometime in September. I think it's usually around the time frame we have for that. But yeah, you can check that out there. Best resource you'll find, I always say, outside of Greg Peterson's podcast. Maybe we should put that in our book going forward. I'd like to see if we could trademark that. But yeah, find it at BlueRibbonYearbook.com. For everything else, you can follow me on Twitter at TheBlakeLevel.
If I need to sign off on that in any way, shape, or form, you just let me know. I will get that all autographed and put in the mail for you guys, because I absolutely love it, and I absolutely love the work that Blake winds up doing. He joins me quite a bit on my conference previews during the offseason, because the man is just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to college basketball. Does a great job of being able to take a look at the game all 12 months out of the year, and brought the goods once again on the podcast today. So big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a roundup as all the news and notes we want to see in college basketball over the last 24 hours.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva, also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
We're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eep Spears, and now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Always a pleasure to get Blake Lovell on the podcast. He brings it every single time he is on here. He's doing a great job over there at Blue Ribbon Yearbook. He's going to be previewing so many of these teams and so many conferences in general. Man, it's very hard at work. Taking a look forward to the upcoming college basketball season, which is what I'm doing here on the podcast as well. So always good to be able to collaborate with him. Big thanks to Blake for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Sunday. We wound up seeing a gentleman go from the D2 level up to the D1 level. That would be Israel Barnes. He was playing for the Jets of Newman, and I actually know Newman quite well because, for one, he was a very good Seinfeld character. That was a joke, of course, but with that said, you also have Newman, who was a very good bowling school back when I was a college bowler. They kicked our rear ends every single time. They're out there in the great state of Kansas, but with that said, Israel Barnes is going to be going to Southeast Missouri State. I do think that Brad Korn is a relatively solid coach. I do think that Southeast Missouri State, especially with the new look of the OVC, they could be able to take some strides forward, and for Barnes, what I think is going to be big for him is just being able to bring his ability to put up points in general. He wound up having 19 points and a little bit over a steal per contest. As he's 6'4", a little bit of a combo player. Shot in the pocket of about 32% from three-point range last season. So clearly a capable guy. I think that he's going to be needing to be a little bit more of a reserve because, I mean, if he's the guy that's right now leading the charge for Southeast Missouri State, things will be going a little bit wrong for them. But with that said, with Southeast Missouri State, it is a team that they like to play up-tempo. Newman, if you take a look at them at the D2 level, they are a team that they are very much willing to gun it, to say the least. A lot of D2 teams, in all honesty, they don't wind up playing a whole heck of a lot of defense, so there is that aspect of it. But you take a look at the Southeast Missouri State team, they have brought in a lot of transfers. Aquan Smart, a former top 200 recruit of Maryland. He winds up coming in. You wind up bringing in a pair of guys from Tulsa, headlined by Josh Early. You wind up having also Kobe Clark come in from Georgetown. So I do think that Southeast Missouri State has done a good job of being able to revamp things. A lot of guys that play sort of positionless basketball, I think, is what we could expect out of Southeast Missouri State moving forward. Dimitri Reuni, he is going to be going from San Francisco, and he's going to be heading to Oregon State. And this is big for an Oregon State team that may have been asleep at the wheel when it comes to the transfer portal. And quite frankly, even with this, I think that it's going to be a long year for them, to say the least. But at the very least, it does wind up making them a little bit more competitive. And I do think that Reuni is able to come in, and he's going to be able to warrant some minutes right away, just because Oregon State, they wind up losing so much. And with Reuni during the 2020-21 season, he started a lot of games for San Francisco. 9.5 points, 5.5 boards, was someone that shot 37% from three-point range as a 6'9" combo player. Just completely fell out of the fold this last season for San Francisco. The big reason why is because you had Muan Mislowski, who wound up just really being able to take things over. But you take a look at this Oregon State team, and they are completely gutted from what we wound up seeing a season ago as well, because their main scorer, Jared Lucas, is now out of the fold for this team. You no longer wind up having so many of these guys that were so pivotal in their Elite Eight run. You wind up losing someone like a G&I Hunt as well, which, I mean, that was a little bit of a bust-a-rooney for him last season as well. So I do take a look at this Oregon State team. After they went 3-28 last season, they have only up to go from there. I think that's going to be another relatively long season, but I do think that a team that was very, very brutal on the glass in Oregon State, they wind up adding a nice piece that should be able to help out with that a little bit. Sean Robinson, he was playing at San Jose State last season and began his career at Ole Miss, just could never really get out there on the floor for Ole Miss, but was a relatively highly touted recruit and a guy that last year, 7.5 points, right around 4.5 boards per game while he was out there in the Mountain West. He has decided that he's going to be going to Austin Peay. Austin Peay had some success out there in the transfer portal last season, and they've got a good combo out there with regards to freshman and Caleb Stone Carwell, along with Elijah Hutchins Everett, that should be able to help him out as well. So I do think that Austin Peay has a little bit of an upward trajectory. When I wound up doing my Atlantic Sun projector finish, I wound up putting Austin Peay number 5. I think that I'd be willing to put them number 4 with Sean Robinson coming into the fold. I can't put them in front of a school like a Jacksonville, but I do think that it is going to be a solid year for Austin Peay in their first year in the Atlantic Sun. You take a look at Robinson, a former top 200 recruit in the class of 2019. Someone who has some size and he's able to stretch a floor. He's 6'11", wound up popping threes last year. Now, didn't have a lot of success with it, shooting only about 26% from three, but I think it's going to be big for them. It's just having him be able to help out Hutchins Everett down low, because he's a little bit more of a traditional big man. Now you're able to bring in there someone in Robinson who's able to stretch a floor a little bit. That's something that Austin Peay was really missing last season. So I do think that this is a very solid gift for them, and one that does wind up elevating this team. You wind up seeing Jamie Burgins. He was last season playing at Oral Roberts, and he decided that he is going to be heading over to Drexel. Wound up not necessarily contributing to that team that made the Sweet 16 two seasons ago. Last year, wound up putting up 2.5 points per contest. Someone that wound up shooting 50% from three-point range, but as you can tell from the numbers, it was on a very small sample size. Only wound up seeing action in 14 games last season. Was never necessarily a highly touted guy. Got to think that going into Drexel, he is going to be able to see a few minutes. It is a Drexel team that they are off of being able to make the NCAA tournament two seasons ago, a winning record last year, but they do wind up losing a few pieces from that team that was so successful a few seasons ago. Now, Cameron Winter, it looks like he's going to be back for a fifth season for this team. Xavier Bell was able to do a very solid job in the backcourt as well, so that's another cog that they're going to be able to utilize. You're going to need to have Mr. Burgins be able to play a little bit of better defense than he wound up playing over there at Oral Roberts, because in the Summit League in general, it's just no defense that winds up getting played. But that said, he could be able to come in and be able to knock down a couple threes. This was a little bit surprising. Colin Warren was at McNeese State last season and was a relatively solid contributor for McNeese State. 9 points, wound up being able to shoot from three-point range right about 32%. So didn't necessarily light the world on fire, but at the same time, was a nice contributor for a team that they were okay out there in the Southland. He has decided that he's going to be going down to Northwest Florida State College. This is a JUCO school. Got to figure that Warren is going to be going down there for a year, try to rebuild his stock, because you got to figure that there were quite a few D1 schools that they would have been in on him. And it was a little bit interesting to see Quentin Johnson II, another guy that wound up putting up some solid numbers, decide to go down to the non-D1 level as well. He was at UT Rio Grande Valley this last season. Last year, wound up putting up 6 points and 3.5 rebounds per game. Two seasons ago, when he was at UT Rio Grande Valley, that was more like 10 points, 6.5 rebounds, and he was a starter for them. So we wound up seeing a pair of guys that I felt like were actually somewhat of impact guys decide to go down to the non-D1 level with Johnson. He's going down to East Central. That is more of a D2 school, but very easy for your handicap with Warren and Johnson. Do you guys that once again? Thought that they would be contributors at whatever school they wound up going to, as long as it was a mid-major. All you need to note is that these guys were at the D1 level last season. They are no longer at the D1 level. Cross them off your list of guys who you need to evaluate and move on. It's a little bit more easy to take a look at someone like Caleb Bates going down to the non-D1 level. This is easier to understand. He wound up putting up 2 points in one game last season for UMass Lowell. He's decided that he's going down to Henry Ford College. God bless Henry Ford, so he is going to be going down there. And when it comes to college basketball, we're taking a look at a little bit of everything right now. We are now into conference preview season. We've already done the Atlantic Sun, and we have done the America East. Big South should be coming within the next few days. I'm thinking towards the middle of this week, I'm going to wind up doing that conference. And if you're looking for a little bit more Greg Peterson, I've got you guys covered Monday and Tuesday night. Technically Tuesday and Wednesday if you're out there on the East Coast on the lookout. That'll be from 1 to 4 a.m. Eastern time. And if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at gunit_81. Keep in mind, letter ZM. Name does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline, and the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review coming at you guys every single day, whether it be during the season or the off-season, off-season news and notes and conference previews, and during the season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I'll catch you guys once again tomorrow. And once again, big thanks to Blake Lovell for joining me in the second segment. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'll catch you once again tomorrow.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.